Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis. We're in Lamed Alpha Lamed Beis, and we are about halfway down on the Amud. Just a little bit more than that. We are up to Karim Ravai. At least I think so. We're up to Karim Ravai. The Gemara now is counting out the tikkunos that were made by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Churban Beis by Sheni after destruction of the Second Temple. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made a number of institutions. Most of them revolved around the fact that we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash. And so he made institutions just as pragmatic, meaning we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so therefore those things which apply during the during Beis Hamikdash no longer apply. Therefore, we're just simply going to overturn them, repeal. And other tikkunos he did to help us remember the Beis Hamikdash and to long for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah is here in the fourth parak, since the beginning of the fourth parak, which goes back to Chavtes Amud Beis. So we started with the tikkunos of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Obviously, its relevance to our Masechta has to do with the first tekana that's mentioned in our parak, and that is that they would blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which coincides with the Shabbos, as long as you were within the Beis Hamikdash. That's obviously during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, so they would blow shofar in Yavne. Question of Yavne, other Batei Dima as well. But anyway, that was the tekana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And since that point in time, so in the Mishnayos, we've been enumerating other takanas that were made by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, most of them not having to do with Rosh Hashanah, but okay, it doesn't matter. In other words, the Mishnayos and the Gemara right now stay on this particular theme and keep to it. The Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph gave us a couple more of the takanas. Lulav, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, is going to be taken 7 days. The Isser of Chadash is going to continue for the entire day of the 16th. After Churban Beis Hamikdash, in terms of accepting witnesses during the Beis Hamikdash, they would only accept witnesses only up to Mincha, but min Mincha Lamala, they would not accept witnesses to be to testify regarding the new moon specifically on Rosh Hashanah. After Churban Beis Hamikdash, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai repealed that, and he said we'll take the Eidim the whole day on the 30th day of Elul. Then it was just as long as we're here, as long as we're continuing. So we did the Mishnah yesterday, and that is that the Eidos of Chodesh only need to go up to the Beis Vad. They don't have to go follow the Av Beis Din around. The Av Beis Din went and traveled for whatever reason, so the Eidim don't have to follow them around. They could just simply go to the Beis Avad, and that would be sufficient. So those were the tikkunos that were instituted in the Mishnah, in the Mishnayos over here. So the in the previous parak there was also another Takana that was mentioned regarding Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. And so we are now six in this parak, one of the previous parak, that's seven. We learned yesterday another takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Geshen is Gayer. When you have a convert who converts, so he sets aside money for the karban, and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says that's a terrible idea. And he instituted that we don't set aside money for the karban, meaning obviously the money would be lying around in wait for the Beis Hamikdash to be built. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai abolished that. That was another takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So we are up to eight. So eight takanas. Now we know we have a Masorah that we have nine takanas of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what we're going to be discussing now are what is the ninth takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai? V'idach. So that's exactly where we left off yesterday. That's where we're going to pick it up this morning. So halfway down in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, V'idach. So here we are going to debate what is number nine. So plukta the Rav Papa Rav Nachmar Yitzchak, so it's machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Rav Papa Amar Karim Ravai, Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zaharis. So the Gemara says, okay, so they're debating, and we're going to go through each one, so let's follow along. Rav Papa Amar Karim Ravai. So Rav Papa says that the takana that is number nine for Rav Yochanan Zakkai is that of Karim Ravai. So a little bit of introduction so that we appreciate what Rav Yochanan Zakkai did. So we know that there are a couple of agricultural halachas where you have to take the peiros and bring them to Yerushalayim and eat them in Yerushalayim. They have kedusha, and the kedusha demands that they be brought and eaten in Yerushalayim. You can be poda, you can redeem them, and you can bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy whatever food you want in Yerushalayim. And the two agricultural halachas this applies to is Maaser Sheni and Karim Ravai. So Maaser Sheni, that's the second 10% that you take off in years 1, 2. And 4 and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. But right now we are going to be focusing on Karim Ravai. Karim Ravai. So in the fourth year of your vineyard, now presumably other trees as well and other growths as well. But right now we're just going to focus on the vineyard. So in the vineyard in the fourth year, so it's no longer Arla. So you are in fact allowed to eat it, but it has Kedusha during the fourth year. Therefore you have to take it and bring it to Yerushalayim. Again, what you can do is you can redeem it and then spend the money in Yerushalayim. So there was a once upon a time was a takana. Once upon a time, meaning during Beis HaMikdash, there was a takana that if you lived within a 1 day walk of Yerushalayim, so you cannot be poda your Kerem Revai, but rather what you must do is you must bring it to Yerushalayim. And we're going to learn momentarily the reason why they did this is kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim. In other words, this way, so we know for sure that fruits are going to be brought into Yerushalayim. So that was the legislation that was made by the Chachamim, that even though the Torah gives you the right to redeem it, but if you're within a 1 day walk of Yerushalayim, so you cannot redeem it. That was the takana. Now, after Chum Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yochanan Zakkai says, look, unfortunately, we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. There's no longer this push of kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim, and so therefore Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai repealed it. That's all what we're about to learn. Well, let's see it all inside. So the Tanya, it's a Mishnah. So Karen Ravai Hayola Yerushalayim Mahalach Yom Lechol Tzad. If you were within a 1 day walk from every side, Vizu Hi Truma. And as long as we're here, so we're just going to mention the cities that create this perimeter. So Eilat Minha, we have in our Gemara Tzafon, it's probably Dorum. So Eilat from the south. Now Eilat, what we call Eilat, is not a 1 day walk from Yerushalayim. It goes without saying. So the Eilat that we call Eilat, probably, if not definitely, is not what the Gemara over here is describing as Eilat. Either way, Akravas Minat Tzafon, Lud Min Amara, V'Yardei Min Amizrach. Okay, so that creates a perimeter. And as I already pointed out in the intro, but here's the Gemara, and the reason why they made this takana is that it forces fruit to be in Yerushalayim. V'tanyan on that, now we have the following braisa. Karem Revai Hayalo L'Rebbe Eliezer B'Mizrach Lud B'Tzad Kfar Tevi. So Rebbe Eliezer had a vineyard, and it was east of Lud, which means that it was within a 1 day's walk of Yerushalayim. And so now he was legislated to bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, meaning he couldn't be poda, he couldn't redeem it, but rather, because of legislation, he had to bring it to Yerushalayim. Ubikish Rebbe Elazar lafkir olanim. And Rebbe Eliezer, for whatever reason, so he didn't want to do that, and so therefore, you know what, I'll make it hefker. And when you make fruit hefker, so it's no longer chayv and shumas and maisos, and obviously then, by making it hefker, it no longer is. Okay, but again, we're not given all the details, but for whatever reason, bringing it to Yerushalayim was just not a viable option. So the only thing he had left in terms of what he could do is he could be mafkir. That's what he wanted to do. So Amru Lo, they say to Rebbe Eliezer Tamidov, Rebbe Kvar Nimnu Chavarecha Alecha Vihi Tiruha. So they say to Rebbe Eliezer, oh, you have nothing to worry about. Meaning that there was already a vote occurred in Beis Din, and your colleague, Chavarecha, so he repealed. In other words, that legislation that you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, so that was repealed. And now all we know over here is Chavarecha, that a colleague did it. Okay, so now who's the mystery colleague? So, Man Chavarecha, Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So according to Rav Papa, the mystery colleague that repealed is Rav Yochanan Zakkai, meaning this is it. This is a ninth takana that was made by Rav Yochanan Zakkai. It just happens to be that in the Braisa, it doesn't mention him by name, but that's who it is. Now you know why. Now you see why it's a machlokas, by the way, because in the Braisa it didn't say so explicitly. Had it said so explicitly, so there'd be nothing to debate. Good. So that's Rav Papa's number nine. Now what about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shazar is the Tanya. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. The ninth takana had to do with something else, notably the Tanya. Rishon how you question Lashon Shazar is Pesach Olam Ibechutz Hil Ben Ayus Mechem Lo Hil Ben Ayus Tzavim. Okay, the Tanya of the red ribbon. So the red wool. So part of the red wool was tied to the entrance of the ulam. That was the foyer to the Beis HaMikdash. And so, and then Yom Kippur, as the Sirul HaZazel was being thrown off, so did we gain forgiveness? So the wool will tell us. If the red wool turned white, so that's good. And everyone saw it and everyone was happy. If the red wool did not turn white, okay, that's not good. Okay, all of this we saw back in Yuma. And hitkinu shiyu kosher masal pesach ulam mibifnim. So now this the clear indication of whether Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave us or didn't forgive us. So if you will, I say this only by analogy. So you know, it really influenced affected the market. And the Chachamim said, you know what? We don't want this information to go so public. So what they did is that they still tied the red wool, but not to the exterior of the ulam, but rather to the interior of the ulam. Okay, but still, in other words, it wasn't discreet enough. People peeked. Okay, who these people are, I don't know. Anyway, okay, they still peeked. So he okay, so the takana was is that what we're going to do now is that we're going to tie the red wool not in the ulam, meaning not in the area of the base of Mikdash where everyone's there and everyone could see it, but rather wherever the Sira Mishaleach goes. Remember, there's only one person with the Sira Mishaleach. He went all the way out yonder to the out into the desert. So the red wool would be tied over there by the cliff. So really, now it no longer becomes public information. And whether or not Akash Baruch Hu is Soleich or not Soleich that particular year, so that now was not disseminated to the public. Okay, so that was a takana. Now again, who made that takana? So in the Mishnah, we have no indication, but at least according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's Rav Yochim and Zakkai. That's the number 9 of Rav Yochim and Zakkai. Okay, so fine, so we have a machlokes, Amoraim. What was the 9th takana of Rav Yochim and Zakkai? Now what happens over here is that the Amoraim are picking their spots, meaning they each one of them chose a breisa in terms of identifying what was number 9. Why did each Amora choose their particular breisa? Why did they choose the other one? Next step of the Gemara. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Tam Lo Amar Kara Papa Amar Lo Chisa Kadach Rav Yochim and Zakkai Chave Rav De Rav Elazar Mi Hava Rabo Hava. So the reason why Rav Nachman Yitzchak did not like Rav Papa's source is because you got to look carefully at that breisa, right? Remember, Rabbi Eliezer had all that Kerem Ravai. And he didn't know what to do with it. He wanted to be mafkirit. And they said, chavei recha. They said, your colleague. So the word colleague over here, that's a misplaced adjective. It's not your colleague. In other words, if we're talking about Rav Yochim and Zakkai, so it should say your Rebbe. Okay, so the Gemara says, v'idach kevin to tamidim havu, alav arucha lememer le l'rabbe rabcha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember, who's reporting this information to Rabbi Eliezer? It was the students of Rabbi Eliezer. So it's not appropriate for the students of Rabbi Eliezer to say, your Rebbe. Meaning it's not perfectly respectful. So that's why they use the word chaverecha. Okay, fine. So, the back and forth in terms of why Rav Nachman Yitzchak did not elect to use Rav Papa's source. Now we're going to go in the other direction. V'Rav Papa, my time alo amakar Rav Nachman Yitzchak amalacha yisak adach Rav Yochim and Zakkai bimei Rav Yochim and Zakkai. So the problem, the reason why Rav Papa did not like Rav Nachman Yitzchak's source is simply because the history doesn't match. It doesn't work out. Meaning, here's what we know about Rav Yochim and Zakkai. So he lived during Bayis Sheni, the end of Bayis Sheni. He also lived after Bayis Sheni. Now, we're going to put a couple pieces of information together. And based on the information that we're piecing together, there is no way that Rav Yochim and Zakkai could have made a takana at the end of Bayis Sheni. How do I know that? V'hatanya. So here's the information we're going to put together. Number one, Kol Shnos of Rav Yochim and Zakkai Me'ev Esrim Shana. He lived a total of 120 years. Mem Shana Asak Be'Prak Matya. First 40 years he was in business. Mem Shana Lamed. Then the next 40 years he devoted himself to learning. A Mem Shana Limeid. And the next 40 years he dedicated himself to teaching. Now, learning teaching is not just simply occupational. Learning teaching also speaks to a level that he has achieved. Meaning that there is no way, the Gemara is assuming right now, there is no way that he could have made any kind of takana in either direction, meaning both positively instituting or repealing a previous takana at any time during the first 80 years, the first 40 years of his life business. The next 40 years, he is now learning, but learning meaning that he's not yet a Beis Din. He's not yet the head of the Beis Din. And so the only time that he is even eligible to make any kind of takana is only in the last 40 years. Okay, that's one piece of information. The Gemara says, now you got to put it together with the following. V'tanya. Then the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have a number of comments throughout the Gemara regarding a description of those last 40 years. Meaning they knew. They knew that this was the end of the Tekufa of Bayis Sheni. There were a number of markers that would indicate that. One of them would be what we're learning right now, and that's the last 40 years of the Bayis Sheni, so it never turned white. It was always red. So, Vitnan, Mishachar Habayis Hitkin Rav Yochim and Zakkai. And we also know that Rav Yochim and Zakkai made takanas after the Beis HaMikdash. So now, when you take all this information together and you piece it together, so now here's what we know. We know now that there is a window of 40 years at the end of Bayis Sheni where it never turned white. It was always red. So now even the opportunity to hide the information, it might turn white, it might turn red, only existed only before those 40 years. Now, we also know that Rav Yochanan Zakkai had his own window in which he was an Av Beis Din, and that was for 40 years, the last 40 years of his life. Now, we know that he made takanas after Churban Bayis Sheni. So now that means to say that there is no way, there's no overlap. Meaning, even if he made the takanas the year after Churban Bayis Sheni, so then what? So then we're going to back it up now 39 years earlier. At that point in time, the Zaharis, the red wool, never turned white. It only possibly turned white in the years prior to the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash. So there simply is no overlap between the years in which he was the Av Beis Din and the years where there was at least a possibility that where the red wool would turn white. And so the Gemara is, that's the problem. Meaning, that's why Rav Papa couldn't look at this as one of the Takanas of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. But the Gemara says, okay, even as I take all that information together, still it's possible. The Idach, the Gemara says, what Rav Nachman Yitzchak will tell you is the following. Osamar b'am shana de la matamid yoshel v'vdei rabo hava, v'amra milsa v'istar b'tayma, v'kav'ei rabbe b'shmei. So the Gemara says, look, here's what easily could have happened. What could have happened is that even his mid-40 years, right, where he was learning, not teaching, meaning where he wasn't the Av Beis Din. Okay, but still, in other words, he was still serving as a student in the Sanhedrin. And so he said something, and he said something which was very wise, very reasonable. And so even though he may not have been the one who actually instituted it, but still they named it after him. They named that piece of legislation after him. And so it's possible. It's possible that he made that legislation. Okay, so when all said and done, 9 Takanas Rav Yochanan Zakkai. That is our opening of the fourth parak. It's the last 2.5 daf of our Gemara, where we went through all 9 Takanas Rav Yochanan Zakkai. 8 of them were absolutely clear in terms of what he instituted, and the last one, which is open for a debate, is number 9, which is what we just covered. We're in Lamed Beis Amad Aleph. We are starting now with the Mishnah Seder Bracha. So now we're going to be talking about the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, and a quick intro to this. So as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, so it has got a unusual Shemoneh Esrei. It's an anomaly. Shemoneh Esrei is typically speaking, in other words, on a regular weekday, so it's a composite of 18 brachos. Now, of course, we know it's 19 brachos, okay, because another one was added. But nevertheless, okay, Shemoneh Esrei, meaning as its name indicates, so it's made up of 18 brachos. So the first 3 brachas are Shevach, the last 3 brachas are Hoda'ah, and the central brachas of a standard Shemoneh Esrei are Bakashas, the requests, the petitions that we petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our needs, the communal needs. Okay, good. That's a standard Shemoneh Esrei. Now what happens on Shabbos and Yantiv is that all the Bakashas are taken out. It's not appropriate, says the Gemara, that we're asking Bakashas on Shabbos and on Yantiv. So they're all taken out and replaced with Kedushas Hayom, simply the sanctity of the day. Good. So now on Shabbos and Yantiv, so what is Shemoneh Esrei going to be a composite of? 7 brachos. Good. So your options in terms of Shemoneh Esrei is either going to be 18/19 brachos, or it's going to be 7 brachos. That's normal. Those are your 2 options. It comes along Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, we have a totally different Shemoneh Esrei. It is an anomaly. There is no other day in which we're going to have it. Now, I say no other day. You know, we already learned a couple of times that on Yovel, on Yom Kippur, when there was Yovel, and when it coincided with Yom Kippur, so then we would take this Shemoneh Esrei and we would plug it in. Okay, so there really is another time, but the only time that we introduce this Shemoneh Esrei is only on Rosh Hashanah. And that's the Shemoneh Esrei of 9 brachas. So 3 of Shevach, 3 in the middle, as everyone here knows, but we're going to see it together in today's daf, Machias, Zichronos, Veshofros, and then 3 at the end. The 3 at the end are Hodah, okay? So, and this is a special Shemoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah. Why? So, we're going to be quoting so many psukim. But the simplest reason why, and the best and probably the most correct explanation is because it runs together with shofar. Meaning there's a mitzvah of shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So what the Chachamim did is that they tailor-made a Shemoneh Esrei to fit the mitzvah of shofar. The mitzvah of shofar, as we're going to be learning, not so much in today's daf, but in the upcoming dapim, here at the end of the Masechta. The mitzvah of shofar is to do three rounds of tekiyas. Tekiya, trua, tekiya, and to do that two more times. I know it gets a lot more complicated than that, but right now, if we could just distill it to what the basic mitzvah is, that's the mitzvah of shofar. So there basically are three rounds of shofar, and so now what the Chachamim did is that they instituted Shmoneh Esrei, where you're going to be doing Machios, and you blow shofar round one. And then you do Zichronos, and you blow shofar round two. And you do Shofros, and then you blow shofar round three. So they basically made a Shmoneh Esrei for the purposes of shofar. Okay, that's the basics. That's really the ABCs in terms of the tefillah on Shmoneh Esrei, on Rosh Hashanah. Just a really interesting debate amongst the Rishonim. All right, when do we do this on Rosh Hashanah? When is the special Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah? So everyone here in the room is going to tell me that we do it on Musaf. But we don't do it on Maariv, and we don't do it on Shacharis, and we don't do it on Mincha. And I have nothing to say, but you're right. But we're not going to see that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not going to say this is specific to Musaf. So it happens to be that some Rishonim, most notably the Baal Meor, so some Rishonim are of the position that this Shmoneh Esrei that we're describing is for every Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, Maariv, what we're describing right now. And the same thing with Shacharis and Musaf and Mincha. In other words, this is the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. The vast majority of Rishonim disagree with that, and they say that now it's only for Musaf. Okay, good. So just as an interesting point, interesting debate, and we'll of course assume that's just for Musaf, but just know that not everyone's in agreement to that. Okay, and then the details, which is what we're going to be learning now in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, and that's basically how to format. Meaning, we know now what the basic ingredients are is to the Shmoneh Esrei, and now it's just a question of the correct formatting of the Shmoneh Esrei, and so that's going to be the debate over here. What's going to be open for debate? In other words, I got Machias Zichronos V'Shofros. I also have the Kedushas Hayom, right, which is for standard for every Shabbos and every Yontif, and so now, and I'm going to walk away only with nine brachas. So where do I put everything? Meaning, where's the Machios in relation to Kedushas Hayom? So in other words, so there's just a couple of formatting issues. So that's what the Tanaim are going to be debating. Seder Brachos, Omer. So what are the Seder Brachos? So here's what you do. You say, Avos Gevuros Kedushas Hashem. Okay, so the standard first three Brachos that come together with every Shmoneh Esrei. The Kol HaMachios Nimahem Beino Tokea. Now, according to, as we'll see in a moment, this is the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to take Machios, and you're going to front load it. And you're going to put it together with Kedushas Hashem. That's bracha number three. Now, you're not going to blow shofar then. Now, I know that sounds funny, because that's, of course, not what we do. But again, this, as I point out, it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. And then Kedushas Hayom, Vitokea. Now what you'll do is Kedushas Hayom. That will be bracha number four. Then you're going to be blowing shofar within that fourth bracha. Zichronos Vitokea. Shofar's Vitokea. And then brachas five and six, and you're going to be blowing shofar both in Zichronos and Shofros. And then you finish off the Shmoneh Esrei like you do typically on any other Shmoneh Esrei with your Hodah. I'm sorry, with your Avodah. Avodah is what we call Ritzei. Avodah, that's Modim. Sorry. Yeah, Hodah is Modim. And Birchas Kohanim. Right? It's funny. Sim Shalom, not mentioned the Mishnah, but we don't have to delve into that now. Let's just assume the standard three brachas at the end. All this is the sheet of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Now to us it sounds really strange, and of course it sounds strange, because that's not what we do. What do? We follow much more in line with Rabbi Kiva. Amala Rabbi Kiva, Imeno Tokela Machios Lamahu Maskir. So Rabbi Kiva says, you know, the Chachamim, do you know why they added Machios into the Shmoneh Esrei? So that we could blow shofar. And according to you, Rav Yochanan Nuri, you're not blowing shofar during Machios, you're front loading it in the third bracha and not blowing shofar. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't understand that at all. In fact, not only do I not understand that, I simply disagree. So, Ella Omer, Avos HaGevuros HaKedushas Hashem. So, Rabbi Kiva says, here's how it's going to look. So, what you're going to do is the first three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei standard. V'kola machios im kedushas hayom v'tokea. Now, bracha number four. So, bracha number four, here's what we're going to do for bracha number four. So, you're going to synthesize and put together in bracha number four, machios, together with kedushas hayom. Fine, and that'll be your fourth bracha. Of course, you're going to blow shofar then. Zichronos v'tokea, shofar v'tokea, v'omer avodah v'odah, birchas kohanim. Okay. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that our Shemoneh Esrei nowadays, obviously, is modeled and formatted like Rabbi Akiva. A lot more information coming up over here. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Imeno Tokei L'Machios, Lama Hu Maskir. So remember the retort of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? Well, why in the world would you be saying Machios if you're not blowing shofar? So Lama Hu Maskir, so the Gemara reacts to Rabbi Akiva's reaction. What do you mean, why do you say it? Rachmana Amar Itzkar, the Torah says that you have to say Machios. That line of the Gemara is really interesting. The Torah says you have to say Machios. Where does the Torah say you have to say Machios? Meaning we're talking about davening. We're talking about tefillah. And everyone's in agreement, meaning whether or not davening is a mitzvah min haTorah. Okay, so we, as we know, it's a machlokas rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban. But in terms of the formatting of Shemoneh Esrei, who's of the position that's daraisa? Nobody. Meaning the formatting of Shemoneh Esrei is a din derabbanan. So the fact that the Gemara over here says really comfortably without batting an eyelash, you know, the Torah says you have to say machios. So that's a really interesting line of the Gemara. How do you understand that? Okay, that's a deeper dive. I just raise the issue. So Ella Lama Eser Lema Tesha the whole Vishani Shani. So the Gemara says, well, what Rabbi Kiva really meant is as follows. No, I'm not even for a moment suggesting that we should remove Machias. But what Rabbi Kiva is saying to Rav Yochman Nuri is that you're moving it out of the four slot, you're moving it into the three slot, and you're not blowing shofar. So already that's unusual. That anomaly deserves not 10 brachos, but rather 9 brachos. I'm sorry. Not 10 psukim, but rather 9 psukim. As we're going to learn later on, each of the sections, machias, zichronos, v'shofros, so they have 10 psukim that are mentioned. So what Rabbi Kiva is saying to Rav Yochanan Nuri is that once you're moving it out of what I think to be the normal slot, meaning the 4 slot, and moving into the 3 slot, so that should be represented by a shinui, which is 9 psukim, not 10 psukim. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin she'omer mavo. So here now, a couple of brises that we're going to go through in terms of sourcing all this. Meaning, and when we get to the Gemara Megillah, we're going to do this again. And that is, where's the sourcing for how the Shemoneh Esrei should be formatted and laid out? Now, it happens to be that in Megillah, we're going to go through the standard Shemoneh Esrei. Here in Rosh Hashanah, understandably, we're not going to go through the standard Shemoneh Esrei, but rather we're going to go through the Rosh Hashanah Shemoneh Esrei. So we start off with the first three. Minayin she'omrim avos shenemar havelo shem b'nei elim. B'nei elim is a reference to avos because they are strong ones, right? Our patriarchs. Minayin she'omrim gvur shenemar havelo shem kavo v'oz. Minayin she'omrim kedusha shenemar havelo shem kavo shemoshach v'la shem mahadras kodesh. Okay, please forgive me as we're going to be going through a lot of psukim over here. I'm not going to be translating all the psukim, and I apologize. I appreciate the fact that I'm not going to be able to explain everything. Now, as far as the three central brachos are concerned, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Dichsiv Shabbason Zichron Shua Mikra Kodesh. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer Omer Dichsiv Shabbason Zichron Shua Mikra Kodesh. Okay, good. So that's the pasuk in Emor. And Shabbason zeh Kedushas Hayom. So Shabbason is a reference to Kedushas Hayom. Fine. And Zichron Eila Zichronos. And Shua Eila Shofros. And Mikra Kodesh Kacheo Be'asiyas Malacha. Okay. So if you noticed, if you're following, and I know we're going through this really quickly, so we darshan the pasuk that gets us to Machir Zichronos V'Shofros. Of course, conspicuously absent in this drasha is that there's no sourcing for Malchus. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. Amal Rebbe Kiva Mibnei Malo Nemar Shabbason Shivos. Shabbat Pasach HaKas of Tchila. So I don't understand. In other words, wouldn't the first point be that we have to stop doing malacha? So Ella Shabbaton. So Rabbi Kiva says, so let me darshan it for you, and it's going to go like this: Shabbaton Kashir Basias Malacha. That is the Torah telling us not to do malacha. And Zichron El Zichronos and Shua El Shofros and Mikakosh Zeh Kedushas Hayom. Okay, fine. So Rabbi Kiva just simply shuffles around what he believes is the correct drushas that come out from the psukim over here. Either way, whether you follow like Rabbi Kiva or you follow who was he arguing with in this braisa? Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? Rabbi Lazar. Okay, fine. So Rabbi Lazar. So whether you hold like Rabbi Kiva, whether you hold like Rabbi Lazar, so we have now drashas for the formatting of Kedushas Hayom and Enzichronos and Shofros. So as I pointed out already, conspicuously absent is Machios. Which brings us to the Gemara's next point. Minayim she'omer Malchios. Good. So the Brisa we just learned is incomplete. where do we get Malchus from? So the Gemara says, okay, for that, Tanya, we have another Braisa. Rabbi Omer, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Uvechor Shashvizu Malchus. Okay, fine. So, Ani Hashem Elokechem, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pronounces that he is Hashem, so that means he's a Melech. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Amar, Eino Tzarech Harei Omer, Vayu Lachem Lezichron Lefnei Elokechem, Shein Tam Lomar Lefnei Lomar Ani Hashem Elokechem. Ma Tam Lomar Ani Hashem Elokechem, Zebanav, Lechol Makum Shenemar Bo Zichronos, Yu Machios Imahem. Okay, so we have a binyanav that whenever you have Zichronos, which on Rosh Hashanah we do, so Machios comes together with it. Okay, so various opinions amongst the Tanaim, exactly how we generate, derive, that Machios has to come together with it. Vehechen Omra LeKedushas Hayom. So, and now as far as Kedushas Hayom is concerned, so we already have a pasuk that tells us that you have to say Kedushas Hayom in your Shemoneh Esrei. So where is the place in the Shemoneh Esrei? And specifically Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. So Tanya, for that we have another Braisa. Rabbi Omer Ima Malchios. So you put it together with Malchios. So Ima Malchios Omra. Mamatzina, b'chol makom b'revi, afkan b'revi. Because, again, we'll use a mamatzina. We'll use the method of binyanav, which is basically, let's look at precedent. Where is the Kedushas Hayom generally found in your Shemoneh Esrei? So on a standard Shabbos or Yontif for Shemoneh Esrei, it's in bracha number 4. So over here, look, it's obviously your Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, of Rosh Hashanah is different. It's 9 brachas. Okay, but generally it's a number 4. So over here, we'll put in number 4. Meaning, put it together with Machias. That's the Shita Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Ima Zichronos Omra. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, don't slot in the number 4 slot, put it in the number 5 slot. Why? Because 5 is the middle. And what we want is the middle. Why? Mematzinu. Again, binyanav. B'chol makom be'emsa afkan be'emsa. Okay, fine, period. So, not period, a little more of the braisa to go, but machlokas tanaim, where exactly to put Kedushas Hayom? Should I put in the number 4 slot, or should I put in the number 5 slot? And you can have arguments, you do have arguments going in both directions. So they were Mekadosh the Rosh Chodesh slash Rosh Hashanah in Usha, one of the exile locations of the Sanhedrin. We learned that in yesterday's daf. So yeah, Rav Yochanan Brokel if Rosh Shimon Gamliel. So you have now the Sheikh Sibor. Back in the day, so everything was not as formatted as it is today, and nowadays we pretty much know what to expect on Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter, any Yontif or any Shabbos. When the Shliach Tzibur gets up there, so everything is now standardized. Right? For good and for bad, he makes a mistake and everyone will let him know. Right? That's not how we do it. So back in the good old days, so not everything was as formatted and as standardized. And so what you had back in the day was, you had room for a little bit of, a variation. And so, Rav Shimon Gamliel gets up, I'm sorry, Rav Yochanan ben Broka now is the Shliach Tzibur. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is the presiding, Nasi, and he also happened to have attended that minyan, the Asuk, Rav Yochanan Nuri. And now what did he do? So he did like Rav Yochanan Nuri. Now you go back to the Mishnah. Remember Rav Yochanan Nuri? So where did he put Machios? He put it in the 3 slot. So Amar lo Rav Shimon, lo hayu nohagin kem biyavne. So Rabbi Shimon says, that's really strange. And not only is that really strange, that's not how we did it. Right? Back in Yavne, that's not how we did it. So, Liyom Hasheni, now what it sounds like is the next day. Now, what do you mean the next day? Meaning, right, back in the day, there was only one day of Rosh Hashanah. Gemara's going to ask that question. So, Liyom Hasheni, Yav Rabbi Chanina ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef HaGlili, V'asik Rabbi Akiva. So, along comes Rabbi Chanina, and he davens now, and he followed Rabbi Akiva's formatting, which means that he took the Machios, and he put it not in the 3 slot, but he put it in the 4 slot. Amr Shimon Gamliel, Kacha Yunoagim Biavne. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that's how they did in Yavne. Good, right? That one I'm a little more used to. So Lemeimer, the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva Svirlei. So the Gemara says, okay, it gets a little bit confusing because Rav Shimon Gamliel sounds like he's totally in approval of Rabbi Akiva. V'hamer Rabbi Akiva, Machios im Kedushas Hayom. And meanwhile, remember what Rabbi Akiva said in terms of what we do with Machios? So you put it together with Kedushas Hayom, which is in the 4 slot. Now, if you also remember what we learned just minutes earlier, is that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kedushas Hayom should go in the 5 slot, not in the 4 slot. So Amar Lehu. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Kedushas Hayom Ima Zichronos Amar Lehu. So the Gemara says, it's just a little bit confusing, because Rav Shimon Gamliel, when the Shliach Tzibur, in the second day, let's put that right now in quotes, so when he followed Rabbi Akiva, Rav Shimon Gamliel gave him a thumbs up, okay? And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Shimon Gamliel, we shouldn't be super happy with that, because According to Shimon Gamliel, Kedusha Siyam doesn't belong in the fourth slot, but rather in the five slot. So I'm Rabbi Zera Lomar Shetokin Lamachios. Now, what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was giving the thumbs up for is the fact that the tekiah was done during Machios. So for that, he gave a thumbs up. But then, in terms of where the Kedusha Siyam was placed, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was not super happy with it going in the fourth slot. He would have preferred the five slot. Okay, fine. What comes out from all this? I know there's a lot of positions over here, and I read that really quickly. But the basic idea is that not everything was in agreement in terms of how to format your Shmoneh Esrei. There are a couple things that are open to a debate. Notably, where does Kedushas Hayom go? Where does Malchios go? And which parts do we blow shofar? In other words, there were certain things which were outlined, but then some details were open for a debate. So fine. So and Liyom Hasheni Yarid Rabbi Chanina. So in the story that we just went through, so it was the second day. So the Gemara says, "What my Sheni Ilam Yom Tov Sheni Lameir Medavru La Elul." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean second day? Second day of Rosh Hashanah? Well, back in the day when they were Mekadosh Al Pi Ariyah, the only way you would get to a second day of Rosh Hashanah, right? Remember, we're talking about." Where they were the ones who were being Mekadosh HaChodesh. So the only way you can get there is that let's say it's the 30th day of Elul, and they expected that day to be Rosh Hashanah. They davened that day to be like Rosh Hashanah. And then they weren't Mekadosh that day, but rather they extended Elul, and they were Mekadosh the next day. Gemara says, and we've heard this Gemara already numerous times in our Masechta. Do you know when that happened? Almost never. So Vahama Rabbi Chanina Bar Kahana Miyamos Ezra Ve'elach Lamatzina Ela Me'ubar. And the Gemara says it almost never happened. Now it's funny, by the way, because if you go over the Gemaras that we went over in the last week, it did happen a couple of times. So I guess that the way to understand the Gemara over here is that it almost never happened. So Amar Rav Chista my Sheni Liyom Sheni L'Shanaba. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. Liyom Sheni means next year. So in the next year, so then when the new Shleich Tzibur next year. And he did it not like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, he did it like Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Shimon Gamliel was there, and he gave it a thumbs up. Okay, good. Okay, so Adkan, that takes us through the first round. We have a lot more Gemara to go today. Let's continue. Ein po chasim me'asara, machios me'asara, zichronos me'asara, shofros. How many psukim do we say in each of the three central brachas of your Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? So you got to say a total of 10 psukim in all. Now, as we're going to see really clearly which 10 psukim, so dealer's choice. The Shliach Tzibur would get there with his knowledge of Tanakh. Remember, back in the day, so right, they knew Tanakh, right? Unfortunately, not so much for us. I mean, we have a sitter, so you know we're fed the psukim in terms of what to say. But back in the day, so you selected your 10 psukim and you said them over. So, and according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, 10 psukim for each section. Rav Yochanan or Omer im Omer Gimel Gimel Mikulan Yatsa. Rav Yochanan says that three is enough. Now three is enough in total. Three for every section. What exactly does he mean? That's a good question. We're going to come back to that question. Hani Asar Machios Kenegin Me. The fact that we have 10 psukim and each section Kenegin Me. What does that represent? So the Gemara is going to give us a couple of suggestions. So Amar Rebbe Levi, yeah. Amar Rebbe Levi Keneged Asara Hilulim Shamar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Oh, so the halos that are found in Sefer Tehillim. The Gemara says, what? So Hilulim Tuva Havu. There are a lot of them out there. So the Gemara says, Hanach Dechsib Hualuka Bateka Shofar. So you count up the number of times it says Halu Bateka Shofar, it comes out to 10. Rev Yosef Amar Keneged Asara Sadebro Shenemar Lola Moshe B'Sinai. Keneged the Asara Sadebros. Now, what's got to be happening over here in the Gemara is that the representation, whichever one you're pointing to, so obviously this must speak to much more powerful, impactful ideas. And I am reading the Gemara over here superficially. Okay, apologies, but that's what's happening today. Rav Yochanan Amar Keneged Asar Ma'amar Shabam Nivra Ha'olam, the 10 utterances in terms of where the world was created. So Ha'ininu Vayomer Debreishis. So open up the Parshas Breishis, and you're going to find the number of times it says the words Vayomer. So the Gemara says, okay, but I fact checked you. And you know how many times it said it? Didn't say 10 times, it said it 9 times. So Teshavu. So the Gemara says Breishis Nami Maimeru. The word Breishis itself, that's a mimer. So the Gemara says Dechsib, Dvar Hashem, Shamaim Nasu. Okay. So you count Breishis as one. Good. So three different ways to explain why 10 psukim for each section. Rav Yochanan Menuri Omer Imam Shalosh Mikulan Yatsa. Okay, now Rav Yochanan Nuri says you don't need 10. 3 is okay. So Ibai Lahu, Hechi Ketani Shalosh Men Torah Shalosh Men Nevim V'Shalosh Men Atzuvim Da'avu Teisha. Now, when he said 3, what did he mean? Did he mean that I need 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevim, 3 from Ksuvim, making a total of 9? And his point of dispute is that I don't need 10 psukim, I only need 9 psukim. Okay, meaning a small difference exists between the Tanakam and Rav Yochanan Nuri. That's one way to say it over. Be'ika b'inayu chada, where it means that there's only one degree of difference of 1. So the Gemara says, Odilma, Echem and Torah, Echem and Nevim, Echem and Ksuvim, Da'avi and Lehu Shalosh, V'ika b'inayu tuva. Or maybe Rav Yochanan Nuri says is that for each section, one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Navi, one pasuk from Ksuvim, and so therefore the Tanakhama demands 10, he only demands 3, and that's a bigger difference. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Detanya. The Gemara says, okay, I'll show you a Braisa, and the Braisa will help us understand better the sheet of Rav Yochanan Nuri, which is, Ein pochas me'asar machus me'asar zichronos me'asar shofros, v'imam sheva mikulan yatsa, keneged shiva rikim. So according to the Tanakhama, ideally you should say 10 in every section. Okay, you say 7, b'di'evet your yotzei. That's the Tanakhama. Rav Yochanan Nuri omer, ha'poches lo yivchos mi'sheva, v'imamar shalosh mikulan yatsa keneged Torah nevim uksuvim, v'amila keneged kohanim levim v'yisraelim. Okay? So 3 is going to be sufficient. It sounds like 3 over here, meaning 3 in total. Okay. So amar Rav Huna, amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yochanan Nuri. And then the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says the halacha is like Rav Yochanan Nuri. According to other girsos of the Gemara, the halacha is not like Rav Yochanan Nuri. Either way, I'm sorry. According to other girsos, it's just a question of whether it was Rav Huna or Rav Nachman. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. According to our girsos, the halachas are like Rav Yochanan Nuri, but even he would agree that ideally you say 10 psukim. And again, for us. There's not much for us to think about. We have a standardized nusach of our Shemana Esrei. We're all saying the same psukim. Okay. Next Mishnah. Ein maskirin. Going to go with the girsa on the side. Machos zichrons v'shofros shel puranios. Okay. So like I said moments earlier. So back in the day, dealer's choice in terms of which psukim you're going to be choosing from. So what the Mishnahs are just going to give us are guidelines. And that is, don't pick a pasuk in neither Torah or Nevi'im Ksuvim for any of the 3 sections of Machiz, Zechronos, V'Shofros that have anything to do with Paranios. Meaning, we want, it's Rosh Hashanah. You know, like we have all the Semanim on Rosh Hashanah, we want it to be a good year. The psukim you want to choose want to be from positive and uplifting points in Tanakh, and don't choose anything that has to do with destruction. Maskeh B'Torah, Mashlam B'Navi, Rav Yossi Amar, Im Hishlam B'Torah Yatsa. So, and in terms of how to format the 10 psukim, start with Torah, end with Navi, and Rabbi Yossi says that if you end with Torah, you're Yotze. Okay. And those positions are going to be clarified momentarily. Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, we start with the Gemara. Machios Kegon. So, what are examples of psukim that I shouldn't be choosing? Because they have to do with Pranios. So here we go with a number of examples. So, Kegon Chai Hashem, No Mashem Elokim, Imlo, Biyad Chazakov, Zernatuyo, V'chema Shefucha, Emloch Aleichem. Okay, right? V'chema Shefucha. Right, that's anger. So, we're right. Poor Pasuk choice. Don't choose that Pasuk. V'afagav Damar of Nachman Kolki, I risk on Lirisach, Kuchabrichu Alan, V'lifrikunan. So, and even though Rav Nachman on that very Pasuk, so he commented, you know, God's angry, but he did save us. So I can handle the anger if it's going to be followed up with salvation. So the Gemara says, "Kevin de Brischamar it kori rischa bereshas alam at karina." But again, on Rosh Hashanah, we want no mention whatsoever of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and so therefore, even though it has a good ending to it, but again, poor pasuk choice. Don't choose that pasuk. Zichron kigon, an example of zichronos which a pasuk you should not be using. So here, vayizkor ki basar hema. Shofar kagon tikkur shofar b'giv'ah. So again, you look at these psukim in context, so they are not positive. They have a negative tone to them, should not be chosen. Aval im balomar malchus zichron v'shofar shel peranios shel ovdi kochavim omer. Ah, but if it has to do with destruction of the goyim, okay, that you can include. So malchus kagon, and the Gemara here gives examples of that. Hashem malach yirgazu amim. Okay. Ukagon Hashem malach olam va'ed avdu goyim me'artzo. Okay, so anything having to do with destruction of the goyim, that's okay. And you can mention that pasuk. Zichron kagon zichor Hashem levnei Adom. Shofar kagon Hashem lakim b'shofar yitka v'halach b'saros teiman uksiv. Hashem tzvakos yagen aleihem. Okay. So, various examples. Again, I just want one more quick apology. I'm not going to explain each of these psukim, but again, they have to do with destruction of the goyim. Ein maskirin zichron shel yachid. Now, for zichronos. So, we want to mention psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember us, but us as a community, not as an individual. Ve'afilu tova. So, kigon zachreni Hashem beratzon amcha, u'kigon zachreli elokai letova. Those psukim are yachid. On Rosh Hashanah, we're at Sibur. We're coming to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a community. Pikdonos harei hein kizichronos. Now, really technical debate over here. So let's say you found a pasuk where it doesn't say the word zichron, it says pikadon, which, as far as translation is concerned, so it means to remember. So does that count? So according to the Tanakhama, yeah, it counts. So kigon v'Hashem pakar asara ukigon pakor pakar tiyaschem div Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yossi, I'm sorry, Divrei, yeah, I said that wrong. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay, thank you. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rav Yossi, you find a pasuk, instead of using the word zikaron, it says pikadon or pikdonos, that's fine. And Rabbi Yehuda Omre ino kizichronos. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no good. So, right, by the way, theme alert for the second half of today's daf, Rav Yossi is going to be a lot more liberal. Okay. I mean specifically in this context of which psukim qualify, which psukim do not qualify, and Rav Yehuda, his lane is much narrower. Okay, fine. It's a theme alert for today's second amud. Okay, good. So pikdonos according to Rav Yehuda does not work. Ula Rav Yossi nihi nami de pikdonos harin kizirchonos v'ashem pakarasara pikdon diachid ho. The Gemara says, wait a second. I just picked up on what seems to be a great point. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi, the word pakad can substitute for zikaron. That's fine. But one of the examples that he gave was Hashem pakad esara. Right? Didn't we just say a moment earlier that lashon yachid is no good? That it has to be communal? So the Gemara says, kevin dasu rabbi mine, or mina, kerabim damya. The Gemara says, no, because she's a matriarch. Meaning, and the entire Jewish people came from her. So, in other words, that does qualify. You could use that pasuk. Su'ushar m'shech m'nasu pitzchalom v'yavo melcha kavod. Mize melcha kavod Hashem izuz v'gibor Hashem gibor mechama. Su'ushar m'shech m'su pitzchalom v'yavo melcha kavod. Mize melcha kavod Hashem tzvazu melcha kavod selam. Okay, now, right, psukim should sound familiar. There are two psukim that we just read in Tehillim, Perek Chaf Dalet, in succession. How many times was the word melech used in that pasuk? Okay, so I did the count for us today. So it's five times, right? Two in the first pasuk, three in the second pasuk. So how many can you count that as? Well, it's funny, by the way. We only need three in total, right? Because this is Tehillim, which is Ksuvim. So I only need three in total, but how do I count it? Okay, so over here, an accounting issue. So Rishon Hashtayim, Shnia, Shalosh, Div Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says it's very simple. So it's two in the first pasuk, three in the second pasuk. Good. So you can count that as a total of five. Good. Reb Yehuda Omer, Rishon Acha Shnei Ashtayim. And Reb Yehuda says no. In the first pasuk, it only counts as one. Because if you look at the pasukim and you read it and you translate it, it's almost like Q&A, right? Who's the melech? The melech is. So in other words, so I know it's two words, but it's really one subject. So the first pasuk, you can only count as one. And in the second pasuk, and I'm not going to read it out right now, but you read it, and you'll see that it comes out that even though it's three references, it only counts as two. Okay. And again, by the way, that fits into my theme alert. Rabbi Yossi's lane is a little bit wider in terms of what he's counting. Rabbi Yehuda's lane is narrower. Zamru lakim zameru, zamru lamakinu zameru. Ki malach kol haaretz elokim. Okay. We should be familiar. Sfardim say this before Kia Shofar? Yeah. Okay, good. I got confirmation. Okay, fine. Okay, good. We're the same. We say this back in Tehillim seven times before Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Good. So now, if you want to use this pasuk in your Shmoneh Esrei, so it's Tehillim. It'll count towards your Ksuvim Psukim. So it says the word Melech two times. So how do I count that? Do I count it as two? Once again, Machlokus. So Shtaim Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, you get to count that as two. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Achas. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it only counts as one. because again, it's Q&A. So it's two melachs, but only really, it's a rhetorical question with an answer. So you only count that as one. Vishavin, the Gemara says, okay. So they disagreed a couple of times, but here's where they're going to agree. Ben melech elokim al goyim elokim yosheva kisei kashoshi achas. Okay, which kind of makes sense because it says the word melech only once, but okay. Anyway, you could try to make an argument to count to more than one, but the Gemara says, don't bother. They agree on that one. Zichron sheyesh bo trua kagon. So the Gemara says, here, I'll give you one, a little bit of a brain teaser. So let's say Shabbaton Zichron Trua, Mikra Kodesh. So here now, in this pasuk in Emor, so it says Zichron and it says Trua. Ah. So which section do you put it under? Okay, you have three possibilities, either Zichronos or Shofros, right? Not Malchios. So where do I put it? So Omer Ima Zichronos, Omer Ima Shofros, Divrei Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says, so you know what you could do? You could double dip. You could take that pasuk and you can apply it towards the Zichronos, and you could take the same pasuk and you could apply it to your Shofros. Okay, good. You could double dip. Again, goes back to my theme alert. So in Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Omra, Ela Ima Zichronos Bavad. And Rav Yehuda says, no, you only say it with Zichronos, meaning that really the main subject of that pasuk is Zikaron. Okay. Machush yesh bo trua kagon. Hashem el kavimo trua sashem melech bo. So here we go, another brain teaser. So in this pasuk, so I have the word trua and I have the word melech. So now what do I do over here? Which section do I file it under? So Omri mamachus for Omri mashofus de Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, once again, you could double dip. You could use it for Malchus, and you could use it for Shofros. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eino Omer, El Ima Malchus Bevad. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can only file it under Malchus. In other words, the main subject is Malchus, so you can only file it under Malchus. Trua, Shiesh Ima Lo, Trua, Shein Ima Lo Klom, Kegon. Yom Trua Yelachem, Omer, Im HaShofros, Div Rabbi Yossi. Let's say it's just the word Trua, just Trua alone. So can I put that into my Shofros section? Rabbi Yossi says, sure. In other words, they're synonymous. And Rabbi Yehuda Omre, Eino Omre Kol Ikar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. In other words, for Shofros, what do I need? I need a pasuk that actually says the word Shofar. Trua does not qualify. Ironic, as it may sound, that I can't use the pasuk of Yom Trua for my section of Shofar. But again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, his lane is super narrow, and that means you need the word Shofar. Okay, we're gonna get to the Mishnah. Maschil b'tor u'mashlim minavi Rabbi Yossi omer im hishlam b'tor yatsa. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi says im hishlam b'tor im hishlam di'evadin lechatil alav v'atanya. Now it sounds like Rabbi Yossi, if you conclude with a pasuk in Torah, fine. So Rabbi Yossi omer, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'd like you to look at the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi omer hamashlim b'tor arizim mishubach. So in this brisa, Rabbi Yossi is not just simply saying that post facto it's okay; it's ideal lechatila. You should be concluding with a pasuk in Torah. So, Ema Mashlim. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so that's how you say Pshat in our Mishnah. Gemara says, that's wonderful, but read the Mishnah. V'ha im hishlim ketani di'evin lechatchil alo. Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't really fit into our version of the Mishnah. So, hachi kamer, the Gemara says, Mashlim b'Torah, Mashlim b'Navi, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mashlim b'Torah. So, now the Gemara is either changing the nusach of the Mishnah, or just maybe just redacting our understanding. Either way. So Rabbi Yossi says, here's what you'll do. You'll be mashlim b'Torah. And then, v'imishlim b'navi yatsa. And if you're a mashlim b'navi, you're yotze. It certainly sounds like the Gemara is reformatting the Mishnah. Right? It sounds like an edit of the Mishnah. The Gemara has a brisa supporting this as well. Ama Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi, vatikin hayu mashlimim oso b'Torah. Ah, the vatikin. Right? Vatikin is a term that we use in brachas to describe people who are davening Shemoneh Esrei in the morning with Netzach Hama. Okay, but Vatikin just simply means people who are really precise. So, Bishlam is a chronos v'shofar zikatuvah. Eli amachios tlas hu dahavyan. So the Gemara says, now, zichronos shofros, so you have Tanakh at your fingertips. Okay. If you have Tanakh at your fingertips, so plenty to choose from. So the Gemara says, but as far as Malchus are concerned, so we don't have plenty to choose from. Hashem elokav imo usuros melech bo, v'yihu bishuron melech, Hashem yomloch lam ve'ed, v'anan bi'inan eser v'leka. So the Gemara says, now, we need for a total of 10. So like, where is it going to be coming from? So, Amar Avuna Toshma. Shema Yisro Hashem elokin Hashem echad, Malchios div Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says, yeah, you take the pasuk of Shema, that will count towards your Malchus. Okay, again, just I mentioned one more time. It really is the theme for today. Rav Yossi's lane is a lot wider. There's no in the pasuk Shema Yisrael. There's no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech, but Hashem Echad, right? So in other words, that's it. He is the Melech. So the word is not used, but the idea certainly is connoted. Okay. And Rav Yehuda Amar Eino Malchus. And Rav Yehuda says no. V'yadata Yom V'shevos Olavav Echad Ki Hashem Hu Alokim Ein Od Malchus. Div Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says good. When we say that the Eino, there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Malchus. And you know what Rav Yehuda is going to say. It's obvious now. Rav Yehuda Amar Eino Malchus. Okay, good. Ata Reisal Adas Ki Hashem Hu Alokim Ein Od Milvado. So Malchus Div Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda Amar Eino Malchus. Again, same thing. And then, of course, it begs the question for Rabbi Yehuda, who just simply rejects all these proposals. So where is he going to be getting his machlus from? Good. I leave us off with that question. Okay. I get to breathe. Let's quickly recap. We went over the 9 takanas of Rav Yochanan and Zakkai. That concluded yesterday's daf. The 9th takan of Rav Yochanan and Zakkai opened to a machlokus between the Amoraim because it's not explicit. We do have a couple of sources. Okay, so open for a debate. What is the 9th takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai? It's either the repealing of Kerem Ravai, or it's the moving of the Lashon Zaharis from the Ulam over to the edge of the cliff. Good. On Lamed Beis, today's daf, Lev. So we did the Seder HaBrachos of Shemana Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. We do it for Musaf. Again, in the Mishnah, it doesn't mention Musaf, but that's of course, the consensus, the vast majority of positions. Not everyone is in agreement to that. Good. We went over the three central brachas. Shemana Esrei, Machus, Rechonos, Veshofros. Formatting issues. How does all this get formatted? So in the Mishnah, Machlokes between Rav Yochanan ben Uri and Rabbi Akiva, where exactly to put Machios? Should I put it in the 3 slot? Should I put it in the 4 slot? Machlokes, obviously we follow like Rabbi Akiva. Another Machlokes that we saw on the Amud Aleph is where do I put Kedushas Hayom? Rabbi says put it in the 4 slot. Rav Shimon Gamliel says put it in the 5 slot. We had a couple of Maisim that happened where the Sheikh Sivar went down for the Amud with either approval or disapproval of the Nasi at the time. Next mission that we did, Psukim. So 10 Psukim for Malchios, 10 Psukim for Zichronos, 10 Psukim for Shofros. Rav Yochanan ben Uri disagrees. What exactly is Rav Yochanan ben Uri's position? Also open for debate. When you choose your psukim, you got to be choosing positive psukim, not negative psukim, and that's where we started the Amud Beis today. A selection of psukim that you should not be choosing from. If it's perennials for the goyim, so those psukim would be acceptable. That would be fine. And then for the balance of the Amud Beis today, to where we got to the Mishnah. I know there are a bunch of Mishnayos in the bottom, but to the point where we got to. So constant machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. What will qualify and what will not qualify towards these psukim? Reb Yossi, more liberal. Meaning as long as you got the basic idea out of the pasuk, even though the word itself wasn't used, so Reb Yossi's fine with it. And according to Reb Yehuda, no, it's got to be a match. You need to have the word being used. Adkan.